So what is home to me? I guess that's a big question. I guess in the past, I used to think it was the place that you were born, the family that you grew up with, the stuff and the people that you were around. And then as I got a little bit older, maybe it was the place that you found. Because not home doesn't always feel like home for everybody just because it's the place you're born, you know? Everybody's situation is different.
Okay, and here we go. Red B again here. And it's a little early this morning, but that's okay. Getting going. Got to get this thing recorded. Haven't done one early, but that's okay. We are on the song, Here Is Where I Belong. It's put here for a shorter, whatever, like a track for it. I ran out of room when I was trying to print the CD, so I just put here. So, but the song is actually Here Is Where I Belong. This song, I remember it was inspired from a person who had just got out doing some time, and we were all sitting down at Bob Evans, and man, it was like, yes, this is right here, man, out in freedom and with family and friends, you know, that's where they belong. Like they were on top of the world. They were, you know, it was just great to see them come alive. And it was probably that day I went home and just started noodling around from the old book. This is actually April 11th, 2013. Heck, that's almost, wow, that's a 10-year. This is 10-year anniversary for this bad boy. So it was a while ago, and it was, for me, it was just a great feeling, and I must have just picked up the guitar, come home, and it just plopped out. It's more of a kind of like a rhythm. How do I word it? There's a guitar solo in there. There's no words, but you know, I didn't record. There's one part where it said where the vocal is supposed to come in. Here is where I belong. Almost sounds like a musical, right? But that did not make it. I don't know if I can't hit those notes or if I just never even tried to put that in there. I just kept it all musical. Not sure. So, I mean, really, there's not too much to this song. Guitar, there's some bass. Christian Gavina, he was on there again. He, just a phenomenal drummer. Just did a great job, nailed it. I would say, most I can share about this was that it was a older, recorded older version. And so, I felt like this tied into the album as a whole because, to me, it's the album as a whole is geared a little more towards community and connection. In the same time, it's just my experience, you know, of just being so dang isolated, and then all of a sudden you come into a world, you're invited to a world of support and help. And so this had to be on the album. What else can I say about it? Like I said, the guitar solo was recorded a while back. I wasn't too thrilled with it, but at the same time, I felt like there was something special about it. It was, with the old amp, I could try and do a video of it just right over here. It's an old PV. And it just had the boom, cranked. I don't know what they call it. It's not a distortion. something else. It's actually for a like a lap guitar, steel lap guitar. It's an amp. Wish I knew the name of it. Session 500. I should do like a video on that, but and actually we got the video going today. We're gonna try out the video. I was having trouble with it with the Man Quest, and looks like it's rolling right along today, so praise God. But anyway, it's an older solo, it's an older recording from our whatever 48 or something. It's an old thing, but that made it. What's new? There's another guitar kind of riff that's on there. And what else is new is Mr. Kelvin, my man Kelvin, did some speaking arrangements for it, and Mr. George did some speaking on there. Let's start with Kelvin. You know, Kelvin, used to work with Kelvin. Just, by the way, I was hoping to interview Kelvin. It would have been super cool. Not going to happen this round, from what I understand, but we'll see what happens. It'd be nice to do a bonus one, but, you know, Kelvin's super cool, school-based counseling, just, what's the word, just a gem, great at what he does, just a very, as a counselor. Man, if I was a student, if anybody's working with Kelvin, man, God bless you. You are blessed because, man, you're working with the best. You know, to me, Kelvin, just almost like he was born to just like be a supporter or to listen. You know, in my experience, what helped me was, you know, when Nicholas, he continues to work with me, but at the same time when I started off, you know, Nicholas didn't have all the answers. You know, he had his experience and he would share that. At the same time, just a great listener. And, you know, he didn't have to fix everything for me. I just needed somebody to slow down and take the time so I could get all that garbage out. And you know, I feel like Kelvin does a great job of this. There's in the counseling world, there's a guy, Positive Regard. Yeah, people know him. Everybody probably knows him. Roger Staubach, or no, that's a quarterback. Roger Hammerstein. Roger something. But anyway, he came up with this thing. It's called like Positive Regard, and it's where the person, they have the answers, and it's almost like an acceptance, like you're accepting them, like, and they just need somebody to bounce that stuff off, and you see them as they're doing the best that they can. I hope I'm close on that. That's gonna bug me that I don't have that guy's name. Anyway, I'll try and put it in the chapter or the show notes or whatever. But anyway, Roger something. So, something Positive Regard, Ultimate something. So anyway, I always felt like Kelvin did a great job of this because, I've sat in on a couple sessions with him, and, he always just did a great job, just very laid back, very positive, a lot of great, non-verbal feedback, and you know, just a professional, a great balance of being professional but relating, and that support of just being there, that presence that's so important to me. You know, just a cool guy. So anyway, I sent this. Well, I just asked Kelvin to talk. Hey, man, would you talk about home? Would you just say some of the things you do, which I love about Kelvin? He would say a lot of the same things, like, it's been a while since I worked with him. What would he say? He would say things like, really? Or, well, no, he didn't say that. Got you. I got you, man. He would say, 100%, 100%. like it's a tool. And he would actually listen. Like, you know if somebody's listening or not, but, you know, he's saying, he's not saying, well, here's what you need to do. Step one, two, and three. He was saying, ah, you know what? Yeah, I've experienced that. I've been there, you know. You know, there's something very powerful for me about that. And, you know, he's young at heart and just, how do I describe him? You need to hear his voice and have him here. We got to do a bonus thing on here. I'll do my best to get him on here. But Kelvin, he actually has his own YouTube channel, KJM Productions. That dude's blowing it up, man. He's my inspiration for the YouTube. Just he started out just making videos, just doing whatever, and then all of a sudden he caught on to Dragon Balls, like the older. I never got into that, so, you know, watching his videos, I started learning about him. But he just does a phenomenal job of doing that channel, and man, he has blown up big time. And when I was working there, I'd call him like, did you see how many views you had over the weekend? I mean, you're talking like 40,000, 50,000 views in like 2 days. Like, come on, man. So Kelvin is killing it at the KJM Productions. Just inspiration because, you know, he just started out and he just kept them consistent, and all of a sudden he got out of that Dragon Balls and just boom. And so man, just a super cool channel. But anyway, back to Kelvin, just a very you know, we'd go to these work meetings and he would make them fun because, you know, just his comments, you know, he's really naturally funny. And got a great combination of a sense of humor and also an ability to connect and have his presence there. Oh crap, train. Now, do I start talking about the man course? Let's do a man course, man quest. Yep, that's train. So anyway, man quest, let's take a break here. Man quest coming out this year, 2024. Father's Day. It's in June, probably 10th or June 17th, something. It's on a Sunday. Mark your calendar. Sign your man up, or if you're a man listening to this, sign up. I'll try and even put in a link there. Now, one of the things that we learn in this man course is validating our wife and validating the kids, which is we're going to practice validating the kids with the kids so that we can get better with our wives. So about 3 or 4 nuggets from my brother, because he's the best listener that I know of, who's not trained professionally, you know, but at the same time, he's the best listener that I know of. And so What he, if I can just kind of give a little nugget of what he shared, was, you know, he's got a couple of them, but, you know, he shared that to take a couple deep breaths. It is something you can try when you're talking with somebody. He said a lot of people listen to talk, to interject, they're not listening, they're listening in their head, like, of what they're going to say next. Now, my brother says, no, don't do that. He says, okay, take two deep breaths before you reply anything. Now, this is why I dug it out of him, because I've experienced it with my brother. Like I said, he's just a phenomenal listener. And this is what he shared. And this is going to be in the Man Quest. So this is just one thing. He shared three or four things. So I couldn't believe it when he shared that. Two deep breaths. He said yes, because a lot of people, they just need to, that way you know if they're done emotionally throwing up to you in a way. And so that's a nugget, and it's hard to apply. It's hard to live it, but us guys, we need to practice. And that's what it's all about, the Man Quest. It's not picking all this stuff up in a day or two. This is long haul. This is marathon. Oh, train's gone. So anyway, sign up. I'm going to try and put a link in, and super excited to get this thing going, and just can't wait to bless some men. So, anyway, all right, back to it. So, you know, Kelvin, all I asked was, Kelvin, can you send something about talking about home, and put some of those sayings that you usually do? Okay. So he didn't put any of the sayings that he usually says, you know, like the, oh, I got you, man, 100%, 100%, or, you know, he would say some other stuff too. It's not coming to me right now, but, you know, just some really cool stuff that he would share. But anyway, he didn't send any of that. And he talked, he had this great message of home. I did not see it coming. And, you know, he talked about not quite finding your home, but making your home. He talked about there's something that you don't find it, you make it. And so, you know, I really soaked that in and actually made that part of the Man Quest. And, you know, and it's, I hate to come back to it, but it's creating that environment. It's a lot of inner work, this Man Quest is. And, you know, Kelvin's a part of that. And it's naturally, it just came out of him. That's why I'd be interested in getting his take. And anyway, I guess I wasn't expecting that. You know, I put his words in there the best I could. I chop it up into the song. I wish he would have had just a little bit more, because I kind of had to chop it up a little more than what I wanted to. But anyway, hey, that was golden. I really appreciated him doing that. He went out of his way. He had a great balance of the volume on there. I was going to ask him, how do you do that? Because mine's all over, you know. But anyway, obviously he's doing great with that YouTube, so he's got the experience. So anyway, Kelvin did a great job. Very thankful for it. Thankful for him. God bless him and his work. Just an amazing man. Now, Mr. George, next door here. You know, he came up with this cool idea of, hey, let's do like a Malabar Farm one. And I said, yeah, okay. I said, well, Kelvin, I got a guy from work. He's going to be on the regular album. And so George records in his phone, you know, gets his phone out, does a, he sounds really cool. He sounds like an ad from Michigan, you know, like, dang, George, like, you know, he's super phenomenal, like, at his music, like, in the box, by the way, like, he's just got a great ear, a great creative, he's a great jam, like, he's just got he's like Butler, like, those guys have that magic ear, man, and they know, they can hear it, and it's just like, whoa, man. But anyway, George sends this phone thing of him talking about Malabar Farm. And I'm just like, this is awesome, man. And so I've got a version with Kelvin, and we have a version with Mr. George. And so you know, from what I know of, Malabar Farm hasn't wanted to, like, do anything with CDs or whatever. And I get that. That's cool. But anyway, we've got this Malabar Farm, like, it's like a invitation in a way. Like, George is talking about, like, what route it's on. And then he says, right before the break, he says, and don't forget your vision bowl. I love that. It's my favorite part out of his. So you know what? I'll see if I can put it in as a bonus thing or something. You know, I'm still trying to learn how to do this stuff, but super cool. You know, I would say that George had a time frame, because I think he really he purposely recorded it like that. Like, then this guitar, he talks, and the guitar solo comes in. And but anyway, but yeah, I would say that's what made it fun for me, was having the guys talk. You know, I never really thought of it, of having that. It was always just instrumental with, well, the thing that didn't make it to the album. Here is where I belong. It's probably more of the guitar riff, but anyway, no, that's about it for this song, man. You know, thanks for listening. We are gonna we're gonna take a break. We're gonna do a little bit of scripture. I'm gonna see if I can find some. I'm gonna go get my Bible and let's dive in. Next week we're gonna be going over the answer. That'll be a fun one. So let's shoot back for next week on the answer, and let's try and get Kelvin. Let's try and get Kelvin in here and see what he's got to say. It'll be a visiting one where we go over to his place. But anyway, let's take a break. I'm going to go grab that scripture, and we'll come back and dive in. All right.
It's a place along the way where you search and you search, and eventually you find a place that perfectly lines up with who you want to be and where you want to be. But I think the more time that goes on, I think that I realize that that place doesn't necessarily exist. You know, I don't know if it's something that you find, and more that it might be a place that you make. Deciding that right here and right now, this is what I'm gonna try to make work. And maybe that's more of what home is, you know, it's that decision, it's that place, it's those circumstances that you decide, good or bad, that this is where I'm safe, this is where I'm gonna put my roots down. This is what I'm gonna make work, whether it's perfect or not. I think that to me is kind of what home is now.
Okay. You can tell I didn't really plan this out too well. Anyway, we are gonna be diving in. This is from... Well, you know me. I'm really into the Old Testament, and nothing against the New Testament. That's where it gets good, the grace in Jesus, and I love that. But also at the same time, I love these Old Testament, the old school ones. I just love them. But anyway, usually I don't really try and plan out a whole lot. But to tie in with the here, like, this is where I belong, I wanted to talk about, like, the promised land. You know, it's an interesting thing because I hope I get this pretty dang close. So my understanding is, okay, so Abraham's the founding father. Just reading about his dad, Terah or something. T-E-R-A-H. Could be wrong. So anyway, there was a scripture that said something about how Abraham's dad was a polytheistic, or possibly it was in the notes. And we're diving into this study Bible. This thing's awesome. I love this thing. This thing is huge. But anyway, it mentioned something about Abraham's dad's gods. Okay, so Abraham, from my understanding, was the first one to worship or trust and believe in a single God. The one true God. And so, you know, God promised him, made a covenant with him, you know, that Abraham, he wasn't able to have children, and, you know, he mentioned that he would become a father of a huge nation, you know, and he's going to bless Abraham and his descendants. Okay, so down the line, I don't want to take too much time going over all this. If I can sum it up. Okay, so down the line, God promised this land, this promised land, to Abraham and his descendants. Although Abraham would camp out in a tent. He lived in a tent. And, you know, to me that'd be a hard thing. Abraham went through his own struggles, you know, not able to bear children, but at the same time, God came through in a big way, in a miraculous way. So anyway, you have this, they're growing, boom, 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 and, they end up down in Egypt. And they're down there for hundreds of years, the Hebrews, the Israelites. And then all of a sudden, God calls them out of there. And you know, it's super cool because, you know, God's like, you know, they have that culture, the Egyptian culture of, you know, back when, I guess, you know, people worshipped stone and stick and stuff and wood. Like, I don't know. I don't get that. But, you know, what would it be like today? You know, because I don't think too many people are worshiping stone or stick or wood, whatever. There was a lot of good stuff, you know. I didn't really piece this together too well. I don't know where I'm going with this one, to be honest. I want to try and give a little background of it, but, you know, I would say I know the Bible says a lot about people worshiping stuff that they make with their own hands. And that's a big one for me because, as a musician, I mean, I love working on songs, and I think, like I said in the scripture, like, you need to listen to God's voice, be obedient, to follow the rules, and listen to his voice today. If you hear it, don't harden your heart. And I would say that applies to nowadays. You know, I don't think of stone and wood. I think of distractions for me. You know, anything computer-wise. TV, I think of things that are hard to put away so that you don't focus on God, the spiritual. So anyway, God promised the promised land. Okay, God busts them out of Egypt, does miracles. The Egyptians get really banged up. Finally say, get on out of here. And then they actually, we've done a podcast on one of these. They say, get on out of here. But then they follow them. And they're like, no, remember? The raised fists. Ah! And they got bombarded by the... They had some obstacles. Let's say that. They got bombarded by the water. None of them lived. None of them who were chasing after them. Okay, so picking up from there, Israelites make it. They go through the river miraculously. And then, you know, it comes down to, from my understanding, I could be wrong on this. They get on that other side. They have all these miracles. They make it out. They have their song, you know, and then God's like, okay, well, go on into this land, you know, and here we go. It may have been one battle before it. That's why I should have looked it up beforehand. Could have been one battle before it. They may have won. And so God's like, okay, here it is. Let's go in this land. But the thing is, they had a... they went and spied it out. Is this the one? They spied it out, and the guys came back and said, we're like grasshoppers compared to them. And two of the guys, there was 10 of them. Eight of them were like, no way, dude. We can't take this land. It's not happening. They're going to crush us. Think about it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Come on. How big were these guys? They just had that mentality. And, you know, two of them, which was Joshua and Caleb, possibly, they're like, no, we can take these guys, man. God has our back. He just busted us out of Egypt. Like, come on. And so they could have skated in, but God's like, guys, come on, man. You missed out. And so, you know, I feel like one thing that I want for my kids is, If God's gonna put a call, I believe God has put a plan and a purpose and a calling on their life. But they're gonna have to, first of all, listen in their heart and be obedient and take action. And so if I can teach my kids anything, that's what I value. Why? Because, you know, I've always been that doubter. I've been the eight. I haven't been like Caleb and Joshua. We're like, yes, we can, who have the faith. You know, we can do this. You know, the Lord is with us. Not about what we can do, but it's about our God. And so I feel like, you know, I've just always had this doubt and fear ingrained in me. And so I'm hoping not to pass that on to the next generation with our kids. But anyway, they missed out. They missed out. They had to go the long way around. Had to go through the wilderness. And that sucks. And they really pushed things. And that would be tough. It would be tough. So anyway, setting this up. This is Joshua. And Joshua. So this is, from what I know of, this is a new generation, because God's like, no, none of these dudes who witnessed my miracles are going into the promised land. And, you know, the promised land, milk and honey, I would say, how does that equate today? I don't know. to be honest, it would be, to me, it would be peace, you know, where you're, I don't know, you would think that they would, that the Israelites would have just gotten in, just easy does it, okay, man, we're at the promised land. But from my understanding, it took a lot of work, and it didn't come overnight. So anyway, Moses dies. Well, this is Moses. So this is Joshua chapter 1. We might just kind of skimp through here on some of the stuff that I had underlined. You know, this is just from the other day, just going through it. I really enjoy just kind of picking the Bible up, opening it up wherever. And, you know, this is a fun one for me, this area over here. Because Joshua is a great example of faith and being a great leader. So, 1 verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Okay, so this is God talking to him. Verse 3. 1-3. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. And talks about how far it will go. Okay, check this out. In, what is it? As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. That sound familiar? That's New Testament. That's New Testament there. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land. I love that. I love that because it's not relying on your strength, but the promise from God, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's a beautiful thing. And Jesus says it in the New Testament. And amazing how that comes up again, but how Joshua heard that. You know, be strong and courageous. I've seen a repeated theme in the Old Testament. God says a lot to his people. Be strong. And I always wonder, you know, like, how do you be strong? Well, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work. You're not going to just get it overnight. 118. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. I would say, if you're doing anything for the Lord, you almost have to, because, at least for me, because you have so many thoughts up here saying, you know, like, just a daily battle. It's the enemy, and it's the self-doubt of God's not going to come through. And it's saying, that's a lie. When God says he'll never leave you or forsake you, that's a lie. No. Be strong and courageous. And I would say that courageous part comes in for obedience. Like I've mentioned before, that's not my strong suit. I hope to get better in that area. Following the Lord's lead. I know I need a lot of help in that area. So, this is what the people say in 1:16. Whatever you commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. So, I mean, that's just talking about obedience, you know. Whatever you command us to do, and wherever you send us, we will go. That's an obedient heart, man. And, you know, first sobering up, they said one of the things they say is, are you willing to go to any lengths? And I would say, yes. I was so dang beat up. And it maybe getting banged up by the world maybe will help somebody have some obedience. To me, it doesn't come easily. It never has. But anyway, So there's this big battle. No, before the battle. So they set out, basically God saying, all right, we are going to, in a couple days, we're going to take off and we're going to go through that, through the Jordan. And so we're in 3:7.5. When you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. I love this part. It's not you show up and a football field away, I'm gonna part it. No, it's you get out there, you get out in the water, and then you're gonna see, like, it's up to you to take the action. And so I love that about this. And it's a hard thing to do. You know, you need to take action. At the same time, you gotta express that faith of what you're believing. Tell the priests. When you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Blah, blah, blah. 3:10. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Morites, and Jebusites. That's a lot of people. It's like you need to have that miracle to see or to trust that God is going to be with you and that he's coming through on his promise that he'll never leave you or forsake you. You almost need that. So I like the way this words, you know, the living God. Oh, I love that. But down here a little bit further in 11, see the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. Oh, I love that. 13. And as soon as a priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, again, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Okay, down in 15. It says, now the Jordan is at flood stage. Ooh. Rivers are dangerous, man. I mean, I personally almost died in the Vermilion River in a kayak. And I would say that was going way too fast. That was just so stupid. I can't believe it. But anyway, rivers kill. And a flood stage? Can you believe that? Think of what's going through your mind. Let's, you know, like, to me, it'd be the doubt, like, this is flood stage, man. Like, I'm not going in that water. God wants me to go down, again, carry the ark, and put my foot in the water in the flood when it's a flood stage? Come on. You have to have some courage for that. And you would have to be strong up here and in your heart and soul. But anyway, Jordan was in flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing, piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam. And the whole nation crossed through. You know, this says down here, I have it underlined down on the commentary. Feet touch the water's edge. Even at the river's edge, this dangerous act required obedient trust. Whew. Not an easy place to get to. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we were just talking about, which is pretty neat. So anyway, it took some work to get into this promised land. Okay, so that's your sign that the Lord's with you. I mean, he's parted the Jordan during the flood stage, and he's saying, come on in, boys. I'm bringing you home. Well, no, because they've got this big battle, you know. Jericho talks about how circumcision, which some of the kids weren't circumcised, you know, that doesn't sound like fun. Anyway, so they had to do that for some of the younger people because it didn't get passed down to them or something. So they got this place, Jericho, got these huge walls again. You're not just walking into the promised land. Like, this is, it's going to take some work. And so, huge challenge. You know, we got all these people, just, you know, the young, the old. And we gotta face this huge, this area, this, these people that's got a huge wall. Like, how are we going to do this? Okay, well, so Joshua says we're going to send 1,000 up. This is in 7, Joshua 7, 3. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed 36, about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate. So they didn't make it. They got their butts kicked. Didn't work out too well for the Israelites. Chased down the Israelites, they struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Talk about being crushed. Like a back and forth, like, ugh. Verse 6, 7, 6, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down in the ground for the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. It's a long day. Elders of Israel did the same, sprinkled dust on their heads, and Joshua said, at last, sovereign Lord. This is Joshua speaking, the leader, the one I would say who has faith, who has courage, obedience, and I would say he just had a heart of strength. Like, we can do this, like a positive attitude. This is what he says. This kind of shocked me when I read it. Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Now, hold on. You think that's bad enough? No. If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Ooh, that hurts. That hurts. Pardon your servant, Lord. Okay, it's getting a little better. What can I say now that the Israelites have been rooted by its enemies? Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for our own great name? So this is, man, fear. It's the water. Your heart going from we can do this to getting crushed and having that fear. Here's the Lord's response. I mean, this is probably the strongest guy, faith and belief and positive attitude, saying that we should have stayed on the other side. I get that. I'm same way. Here's what the Lord says. 7:10. Lord said to Joshua, stand up. Get up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things that they've stolen. Okay, so actually I jumped ahead there. So with the Jericho walls, I jumped ahead. I don't know. I must have skipped a page. They ran into Jericho, and this place is huge. So God's, from my understanding, he's like, not a normal battle. This is what the Lord wants them to do. You're going to walk around it for like 3 days or 7 days or something. And then on that seventh day, you're going to do a shout. You know, that makes no sense at all. Come on. But they were obedient, and they did, and the walls came down when they shouted. Okay, and so they, I would say the Lord said, don't take any of their stuff, man. Like, just, bro, leave it. There's better stuff ahead. And somebody and one person grabbed some stuff, and that's why that next battle, Israel was not able to, was unsuccessful. And so, man, to me, you know, it was not an easy road for the Israelites. You would think that they would just get right in there and have that promised land. And so, what would I say to this? I would say, man, just very inspiring to me to, when God has something for you, when God calls you to do something different, be wise, but at the same time, trust in him and his word, that what he says is true, that when he says, I will not leave you or forsake you, he means it. He means it. When you put your trust in Christ to be your Savior, it means I've got your back, and we're going to walk together through this. Now, is it going to be easy? Are you going to walk right into the promised land? No, I would say no. You know, for anybody that's put their hope and their trust in Jesus, you know, God's son, you know, there's a promise of heaven, of paradise, for spending eternity with the Lord. And that's, to me, I hold on to that. And, you know, at the same time, I would say that God shapes us and molds us through suffering, through difficulty, through discipline, just as a child. And so, I would say, man, that's the first step of turning your life over to the Lord, saying, like me, you know, I was just like, I had no clue. I didn't, and I've got a new song that's really fun, you know, like, had no clue what God would do. And it's a daily battle of trying to get this out of here, saying, makes no sense that we would just walk around the fort, this battle, and not fight. First thing I think is, we're going to build some ladders. No, we're going to build like a catapult to catapult somebody over it. All this stuff. We're going to fly in there, you know, like, but, you know, God's ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts, much higher than our thoughts. And so, you know, to me, it's a hard thing to shut this thing off and let God do his thing, you know. It's a hard challenge for me. At the same time, I'm all for it. So, well, thanks for diving in. I hope you've been encouraged. Man, I would say, dive in yourself, you know, like, get into the word, open it up, and let the Lord speak through it, because he will. To me, it's just taking that time for it, and I just need one little spark to dive in, you know, like, I just need a spark to get me going, and it feeds me. I'm like, yes, like, just get so into it. But anyway, here's a train. We're going to wrap things up. anything more about the man quest. Well, it takes time to go through it. It takes work. Some things may not make sense, but it's all about showing up. You may be scared to give it a go. Maybe something new for you at the same time. Show up, give it a shot, and see what comes out of it. It's a step of obedience, and it is some work. It takes a commitment. It's going to take heart. It's going to take courage. But you will not be alone with it. So, anyway. All right. Isaiah, anything you want to say?
No. I just came in here to listen.
Oh, okay. All right, let's wrap it up. God bless. See you next week with The Answer.